I'm Midnight Agent Raw.
And I'm Okami.
We are the Super Media Bros Podcast.
And each week, we give a comedic take on all forms of entertainment, such as
movies,
music,
video games,
television,
and much more. So put your shades on and listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Shades on!
We're on!
Welcome back to Videorama, where we take your request for a topic and give you our recommendations. We received a message from an old woman who apparently wanted some killer doll movies not directed by Charles Dance. Who's Charles Dance?
Charles Dance is an
English guy who doesn't direct killer doll movies.
I just don't listen to that old lady.
Charles Band.
They're really off.
Huh?
The old lady, I don't listen to her. She's kind of off. We just generally ignore the elderly.
She speaks to you in your dreams.
It's true. No. I don't know where the hell I got Charles Dance from.
Like, she said she Band. Wanted to speak to Donnie because he's the painted man.
Mr. Lannister.
Dude, I do this all the goddamn time, too. Like, even with my favorites. And I fucking love Charles Band. Anyway, so...
I love Charles Dance, so we're even.
I don't dance. My name is Linda, but you can call me the Cheese, as always. Or, well, don't call me Fats, please. I've got a delicate ego.
I'm Adrian, and I'm here, too.
I'm Donnie, and I'm here for your pleasure.
I don't know why I was expecting you to say, and I am here to party.
Yeah, I did come here to party.
In your best NPR voice.
With a Jesus.
I am a paralegal, and if I were to date you, I would appear with roses and white chocolate, and some of the roses would be made of white chocolate. We would go to my mom's house and watch Jeopardy.
You honky.
Oh my.
So what are we doing?
Well,
I'm recording a show, I guess, at the video store.
Here. We do that sometimes. So anywho, I originally wanted to go with dolls, which I just watched recently. But
then you realized that it would be really obvious.
It would be really obvious. And I went with my husband's choice, which was... Magic.
God bless your husband.
Yeah, he's got good taste. I mean, that's how he ended up with me. Or maybe that's...
Well, I'm glad that you finally listened to the man, because I've been saying this is an awesome fucking movie. It really, really is.
It is. It's William Goldman and Richard Attenborough.
It
was made during a time when big actors would be like, you know, I would like to do a horror film. And they're like, all right. It's like we do horror in the theater.
Jerry Goldsmith did the score.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's one of those movies where William Goldman adapted his own book, like with the Marathon Man and Princess Bride.
And if you've ever read Princess Bride, like I read it, and at first I hated it because so you're reading the book and it sounds like he keeps interjecting as the author or the author of the screenplay. And
I love doing that.
And he just comes across sounding like a complete asshole. And I was just like, what the fuck with this guy? And then it got to the point where he was talking about his like fat loser son. I was like, okay, nobody can be this much of an asshole. So I looked it up and like, he doesn't even have a son. He was just writing himself in as a character. And there was no other author of the book. He wrote it himself, and it's amazing. I love it. And I was.
That sounds like the kind of stuff I read.
I kind of went into this blind because I didn't know that. I mean, all I knew was that Sir Anthony Hopkins was in it, but it just like as the credits were going, I was just like,
yeah, like, no, Burgess Goldman. Meredith, Ed Lauder, and Burgess but most Meredith. Importantly, fucking Anne Margaret.
Anne Margaret.
I love Anne Margaret so much.
That Anne Margaret is one hot piece of ace.
I would take a bullet for Anne Margaret. She is so freaking precious. I just want to eat her up. And I would like. I would just marry her to hang out with her.
She made me laugh in this movie for the wrong reasons.
I love her so much.
Well, and William Goldman basically said that like she was like. Horribly underrated. Like her
I think so
emotional
too.
Acting. Yeah. She's
everybody
amazing.
Writes her off.
But later on she would appear with Burgess Meredith in Grumpy Old Men and Grumpier Old Men.
Yeah.
So I like that. And of course I fucking love Burgess Meredith. I mean, come on.
He was Mr. Penguin.
See?
He's Mr. Beavis. He's gangrene. based on Swifty Lazar.
Who's
saying stuff like "you ain't in control,"
and I love his character so fucking much. Okay, because there's this one point where I had to pause because I was laughing so hard, and it—I don't think it was meant to be comedic. It was just so fucking brilliant. But he's just such an inconsiderate asshole. He goes to this cabin, not his own cabin, and he takes out a glass tube with a cigar, takes out the cigar and just like chucks the glass tube against the wall. And of course it shatters.
This is what he does. He doesn't even
it was 1978 and this is a character who drives a Rolls Royce.
Yes. And nobody touches it, but a Rolls man,
but a Rolls man. Yeah.
Like, don't worry, the plebs will clean it.
Take two, they're big.
Next time I go over to Donnie's place, that's what I'm gonna do.
Linda, I'm going to ask you to do something.
You quit smoking a long time ago.
You already
but I'm
bitching
do it.
Me for throwing bottles around here, but it's okay for you to come into my home and do that?
Yes.
What the fuck?
It's appropriate.
It was kind of a shit cabin.
It was, yeah. I mean, to his defense.
Well, in Linda's defense.
Also, they were in Mendocino County.
In Linda's defense, she does a wonderful impersonation of the gremlin on the wing of the airplane from Twilight Zone. Because when we were driving in my former friend Stefan's truck, she had to sit in the back on top of this little hump. And she's literally going through his shit like, oh, what do I got here? And she's just digging around. And then he bitched about it the next day because he said she ripped out all the wiring from his speaker. And he had to go and take it to his shop and have it put back in.
I fucking did not.
Linda,
thank
it's
you very
okay.
Much.
You're friendship a gremlin. Ended. It's what they do. You see wires and you're like a cat with string. You're like, I got to play with it.
Oh, well, he was trying to hook up with me, so, I mean.
He was a douche.
That's what he gets. Oh.
Gee, Linda, you're like one of those guys, so like every time somebody speaks with him, you're like, she wants me.
Well, he did, though. and one thing, another thing I appreciate about this film is, you get Anne Margaret titty. You get to see Righty twice in one scene. Unfortunately, all you get to see of Anthony Hopkins is Harry Hopkins back and chest.
Yeah, you gotta wait till he's much, 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 much older, like grandfather older, to get to see the twig and berries, and you don't want that image.
Wait, what? Did that actually happen? Was that a thing?
Compared to the Hopkins that people know, this is young Hopkins. This is him only 41.
Yeah.
Yeah, 41 at release. I think he was about 40 at the time of filming.
But before we go any further.
Do you love me?
Will you love me forever?
Do you love me forever?
Me?
Do you
will
need
you never
me?
Leave me?
Will you
me?
Never leave me? Will you make me so happy for the rest of my life?
No.
So we're doing a movie called Magic with Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Not The
and
Gathering.
Sir Anne Margaret and Sir Ed Lauder. But there was Anthony Hopkins is credited in this movie twice. And why is that, Linda? What kind of a movie are we talking
Holy
about?
Shit. I can't even believe I didn't even like introduce it. You're right. Okay. So yeah. Sir Anthony Hopkins plays a character who is a magician.
Corky.
Yeah. Corky. Which you don't really hear that name so much anymore, that nickname. Sure. But probably for good reason. Anyway, he plays this magician that's kind of failing miserably. And his mentor tells him that he needs some sort of like shtick to make him to add charm, I guess, to him and charisma. And flash forward, and now he's this big act in the bars because he has a dummy named Fats.
Oh, you call a dummy? Yeah, wound up, bitch.
And yeah, so he does magic tricks and a sort of comedy act with Fats. And
it's the Jeff Dunham story.
But then he his agent, played by Burgess Meredith, tells him that he's going to try to get him on Carson. And when Carson asks him back, he'll know that he's made it. And he'll know he really made it when he takes him for a lunch, a free lunch at the Four Seasons.
Yeah,
but he takes him to his lunch, and there he tells him that he will need a medical exam to be on Johnny Carson
because they want to get him a series. Yeah,
yeah. It's like, why didn't you take the medical exam?
Yeah, but
oh, nothing. They'll find my unabsorbed twin in my skull.
They'll find that I've got something wrong, and I don't. It's not a problem anymore.
But yeah, he doesn't want to do the medical exam. In fact, he keeps insisting that he will not do it. And so Burgess Meredith's character says, I know what's going on. You're just afraid of the success. And then flash forward a little bit again, and he has a taxi driver taking him out to the Catskills, where apparently he grew up, and he gets a cabin in a remote area that is now ran and owned by his old high school crush. Played by Anne Margaret. And
everybody's high school crush.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then, you find out that Fats is talking to him. And it is not an act. And the killings begin.
You get, yeah, about halfway through, you get this wonderful, wonderful scene between Anthony Hopkins and Burgess Meredith.
Oh, God.
He tries to make Anthony Hopkins go a whole 5 minutes without talking through Fats. And
it's real
it is
time,
done
too.
Not only in real time, yeah. So, which in a movie is an eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because in 5 minutes, 5 years can go by. But, like, you get him sitting there, like, just being punished by the silence. Like, this is very cruel of you, you know.
I don't think I'll be able to forgive you for this.
It isn't meant to be.
Perhaps we'll be laughing about this later.
And meanwhile, Burgess Meredith's just like,
I'm gonna chew on my lips because I'm old.
It's become obvious that Hopkins is indeed cracked.
There was time now.
You gotta stop him. I don't have a weapon. Use me.
Yes.
Me.
Which was fucking hilarious.
I loved it. He uses.
Well, it's a big, heavy wooden thing. I mean, you could definitely beat
him.
He's
like
a
cudgel, right? And at like just before that, Anne Margaret's character established that he's really heavy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I mean, an excellent.
I just love that he's swinging him around in the woods, and all you hear is Fats' voice going, yeah, yeah.
Well, because in his mind, Fats is doing it.
Because at this
point. And Fats is modeled to look exactly like Hopkins, and sometimes they dress alike.
Yes.
That is so fucking adorable and creepy all at the same time, and I love it. I'm here for
Apparently, it was very creepy for Hopkins as well.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Supposedly, so he trained for this. He trained with some.
He does real ventriloquism.
Yeah, they had a ventriloquist on set with them. And
not just anybody can do that.
No. And
I can't.
Supposedly, he had to call the ventriloquist in the middle of the night to come take Fats away because he said he was going to throw him in the canyon or something like that because he was getting too creeped out by him. I love it.
Understandable.
But yeah, he learned magic tricks and ventriloquism for this role. And, it's one of the things that really establishes him as an amazing actor. Cause I feel like not enough actors do the work and they just accept or expect things to just make pretend. So,
there's that. Just scheduling, because some of those people just have to immediately jump into a thing. So you don't really have too much time to do that.
Like an actor who's on a TV series and makes a film right quick.
They aren't all treated like royalty anymore.
Sir David Caruso. What are you talking about? Kiss of Death was amazing.
Oh. But the 70s really was a movie renaissance where they really roll everything out for a project like this one.
Ooh, and before I forget, I should mention that this was directed by Lord Richard Attenborough.
Yes.
Who you may know from Jurassic Park.
Spared no expense. Who they should know for directing Gandhi and A Bridge Too Far and appearing in The Sand Pebbles. He wasn't just the old Scottish guy in Jurassic Park.
No. But
and he wasn't just Santa Claus in that terrible John Hughes remake of Miracle on 34th Street.
Well, this was the third time that that they'd been working together, him and Sir Anthony Hopkins. The first time was Young Winston, where it was about
Churchill.
Yeah, the earlier years of Winston Churchill.
But Hopkins doesn't get to play Churchill.
No. He played Lord.
He's in there somewhere.
I forgot already, and I've got it in my notes.
It's okay. I haven't seen this one either.
He played Lloyd George. And then their second time working together was A Bridge Too Far in 1977, where he played
with Robert Redford and James Caan.
Oh, yeah. It's a good one. And he played Lieutenant Colonel Frost.
Yes, this one where he says, tell him to go to hell.
But, fun little story I found. They'd gone through a couple directors for, potential directors for this film. And,
including Spielberg.
Yeah, they talked about Spielberg for a little while. But, Adrian, I know you'd enjoy this. Norman Jewison was set to direct before Sir Richard Attenborough signed on. Yeah. And apparently he wanted...
he'd just done Rollerball and on Fist.
Yeah. Listeners, you may know of Norman Jewison as the director of Moonstruck. I believe those...
Well, hopefully Fiddler on the Roof, Thomas Crown Affair.
Well, I was going to say that those assholes over at Cage's Kiss talked about Norman Jewison and Moonstruck.
Didn't they, though? They got to marinate on that one for a whole 2 weeks.
Before Hopkins, they had considered having Gene Wilder as Corky. But I guess the producers didn't want to have a comedian play.
Yeah, Joseph E. Levine, veteran producer Joseph E. Levine. He's the one who poo-pooed having Gene Wilder.
And he'd also worked with both Sir Hopkins and Lord Attenborough a couple times before. So,
nice.
Yeah. But yeah, so there's that. And where did we leave off?
Bobby D and Jack Nicholson were also considered.
Yeah, Jack Nicholson, depending on what you read, there was like a scheduling conflict, or he had a problem with the with wearing a hairpiece.
Yeah, but, which he denies.
Yeah. So I mean, it depends on your source, I guess.
It certainly would have been a different movie.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it would have definitely been with Gene Wilder as well. Yeah. And Gene Wilder really still thought that he would have, like, it should have been a comedic actor. And I fucking love Gene Wilder. I love him so much.
Of course. He's a treasure.
I really feel that Sir Hopkins did a great job with this.
Yeah. He did. Yeah. He really did. It was very believable.
He's believable. So.
Well, yeah. but he is, but it's also like, depending on what you read on this as well, there's things that the synopsis for this film that say that Fats is a possessed doll. Mm-hmm. And then there's others that rightfully say that it's just his mind, that this is an extension of himself. And
well, there's just enough wiggle room for somebody to be able to project on it, because they do psychological cuts where they'll show Fats moving without Hopkins being near him, which is only natural because he's having a conversation with his vent figure.
Well, even the thing I love, which we didn't touch on yet, the second murder, it's the first successful murder Fats commit.
Well, that's okay. You're talking about Ed Lauder with the stabbing.
Yeah, the stabbing. Yeah, on
that
one,
you're led to believe that just maybe Fats is moving under his own power.
Yes.
Oh, so we should say that. Okay, he first Fats tells Corky that he needs to kill his agent because he makes him spend 5 minutes without talking as Fats,
which he almost wants to
stick him in the booby hatch.
Well, because he walks in on him having an argument with Fats, and he's like, "This is why you didn't want the medical exam. I get it now. You were afraid of them."
No, it's for the act. This is how we do it in Wales. We argue with our puppet.
And so then Fats is like, he goes away and basically says he's gonna call to get him the help that he needs. And Fats is like, "You gotta kill him. You gotta kill him all."
In the booby house. He's a bad guy.
And he says that he doesn't want to. He doesn't think he can kill him. And that's when he's like, "Use me. Let me do it."
Yes. And then he ends up damaging Corky and our Fats, and he has to bandage his little head up. And then he tells him to go and rob the body and dump the body in the water. And that's that's the other part of this that was really fun, and especially for the ending made it fun, was Anne Margaret and him or her and Anthony Hopkins on again, off again, boning. And how he's like,
"Well, she's married to Ed Lauder."
He's like, "I want to be with her. She was my high school sweetheart, and I can be happy with her. I don't need Fats anymore." He's like, "Fuck you, Anthony. You need me." He's like, "I don't need you." "Yeah, well, we're gonna kill people now, asshole." And they go.
It's the classic horror, gothic horror movie balance, where it is the tug of war between love and death.
Yes, and he feels that this love will solve all of his problems for him. And
well, it's Anne Margaret, so definitely.
But she has an amazing boyfriend who is just like the salt of the earth for her. And husband.
Yeah. Consort.
And she just forgets occasionally when she gets this itch that needs scratching. And
he it's blows
just
in her ear.
Ventriloquist are pussy poppers. I mean, it's a well-known secret in magic industry, and people just don't catch on to it. They don't want to put the work in for it. But if you do it, pop, 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 watching panties drop. That's what happens.
Yep. Jeff Dunham just stealing girlfriends from Leonardo DiCaprio and Tobey Maguire. Like, yeah. They wanted that pussy, but it was his already.
I can attest. Yeah. There's just something about a guy putting his hand up something's ass.
That's and he just like, makes it talk.
Yeah. And it's like, can he do that with me?
Like, well, get over here, you wooden dummy.
I mean, tell me you don't find the appeal behind that. Well, like, come on, ladies.
He tries to. I feel so bad for Burgess Meredith because he gets beaten with a fucking doll. Then he gets dumped into a lake where he's repeatedly drowned by Anthony Hopkins because he really wants to live. And then he assumes, okay, it's over with. So then Anne Margaret's husband is like, hey, you've been sleeping with my wife, haven't you? I'm going to take you out fishing. And we're going to talk about this like men.
It's going to be like fishing in Godfather Part 2.
Yes. And who's going to be Fredo? And they go out there and he's like, no, I didn't sleep with your wife. Yeah, you're full of it. It's all hoo-ha in your head. He's like, okay, let's go.
Oh, damn. I told her to keep it a secret.
Yes. And they're like, oh, my God, I see an old bloated man's body on the side of the water. It must be Burgess Meredith.
Oop-a-doopie. And like, hey,
he's still alive. I can do the kiss of life.
It couldn't be Burgess Meredith. He stands 6'4". Says, ain't gonna swing with my daughter no more.
So he tries to save him and tells Corky to go off. I keep wanting to call him Conky. He tells Conky to go and call an ambulance. And I was like, hey, what the hell's taking him so long? And then he finds out, oh my God, you killed this old man or tried to. And then that's when Fats is like, I'm going to shank you. And he starts doing like Algonquin monkey. He goes, and then he dies.
In the neck. Yeah.
I was telling
that one worked a lot better.
And I think that Burgess Meredith's character is still alive by that point.
No, but
we don't know.
He is the penguin.
Yeah, they don't tell us.
I was telling Carlo, I was like, I don't know if you should be watching this with me. And he was like, what? And I was like, you're going to start thinking like, wow, she really does hang out a lot with Al.
Well, he's in your wedding portrait.
Because he was in the wedding.
I don't know about Al. I want to know about Amy.
Amy. Bitch is dead to me.
Amy? Amy, what happened? What did you do? Amy, this is serious. Damn it! Where is it, Amy? Where is my money?
Oh, well, if you insist.
Well, since you want to go segueing into it, yes, please.
The universe guides me. I'm powerless. I'm like a leaf on the wind.
No.
So, Magic was released on November 8th of 1978. It cost the $7 million. You got to secure that talent with your $7 million. And really solid box office success, actually, $23.8 million. So for once, the public got off their sticky asses and saw something that was worth the shit. Because it is from this point in the 70s, certain websites that are owned by certain other websites won't give me solid weekend totals, but I can tell you what this was up against. So other movies in release at the time, there was an Anthony Quinn movie with Michael Sarrazin and Christopher Lee called Caravans. Ralph Bakshi's Lord of the Rings came out around this time. And also in release, there was Midnight Express, the Turkish Tourism Board's favorite movie. The Big Fix with Richard Dreyfuss and John Lithgow. The Wiz.
Amazing.
He's on down that road. There was a Jack Nicholson movie out that was Going South, one of the ones he directed. The original Halloween was out. And Comes a Horseman with James Caan and Jane Fonda.
Oh.
So, yeah, these were your options, and a lot of people went to go see Magic because, for once, they had some good taste.
James Caan. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
But, so Magic and A Bridge Too Far both popped out right around then. So Attenborough, Goldman, and Joseph E. Levine, they originally had a three-picture deal going on. They wound up doing the two. And these are the movies that Richard Attenborough directed so that he could do Gandhi, because Gandhi was like his passion project.
Gandhi!
And it worked out fine because, you know, it was very well received when it came out in 82. But the third movie that they were going to do together was a script that was originally called A Very Good Year. But when it was eventually made in 1992, it was called Year of the Comet. with Penelope Ann Miller and that other guy from Diner and Louis Jourdan. And Guy so Fieri? it was this was written back in 78. So it's before a lot of the movies that it's similar to. But when it comes out, you're like, oh, look, it's a Romancing the Stone knockoff set in Ireland. Except instead of going for a stone, they're going for a big wine bottle. You could see why nobody paid to see that movie.
I guess, but they kind of did see it.
Some people kind of saw it, but not enough for it to have made any money.
Well, speaking of ripoffs, this made me think a lot about The King of Comedy.
You think?
Bernie Mac?
Oh, totally.
Because it's about a loser who wants to break into entertainment?
Yeah, and he's a little off.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. It made me think a lot about that. But I also must say that according to Quentin Falk, the author of Sir Hopkins' biography, mm-hmm. Lord Attenborough actually wanted to cast Sir Hopkins as Gandhi. And he apparently once said in public...
People viewed these things differently in the early 80s.
Yeah. Well, this was late 70s or mid-70s. Yeah. Yeah. But he apparently once said mid-70s in public, quote, with careful makeup and by losing a little weight, he would be superb as Gandhi. End quote. But Sir Hopkins said that he told his father about it, and his father replied with, "So it's going to be a comedy, is it then?" Like, oh, man, that would have been a way different movie. But,
But no, instead we got Ben Kingsley.
We got Ben Kingsley.
Yeah.
And Lord Richard Attenborough called Sir Hopkins the greatest actor of his generation.
And he
good on him.
Yeah. Donnie, are you like muted? I can't hear you.
No, oh. I'm not muted.
I can hear you, Don Fandango.
He's being very understated, like Gangrene the Agent.
Like always. But yeah, back to the movie. Anne Margaret had the most wonderful closing moment of the entire movie. Because after old man Bridges is gone and dead, supposedly, and then her husband is gone and dead, Corky is like, hey, why don't we go to Paris? You know, I'll show you, though I've never been there before, I'll show you Paris. And like, I want to go with you, but I got to tell my husband first before we go. I was like, no, that's stupid. Don't be stupid, you slut. Let's just go. So like, here, you want to do some magic? Here we go. Conky, tell her that trick we did earlier with her when she banged us. And she's like, oh, I hate you. I don't know if I want to be with you anymore. He's like, oh, you ditzy bitch. Come on, we got to do this. Oh, I've got a migraine.
That was the moment. Where Fats pops up from over his shoulder wearing the same sweater.
He had him in his
Hopkins
pants, obviously.
It is fucking terrifying.
It was. Yes.
But it's funny as shit because she's like, I want to be with you. Let's go ahead and be together. And she's like, I don't want to be with you now because you made me angry and made me feel like a slut. And then she's like, well, I'll tell you if I want to be with you, but I got to think about it. So he goes to argue with Fats back in their little cabin. And Fats is like, I like you, guy, and you like me, so let's go kill this bitch. He's like, you don't need her. Just go take my knife and go up that hill and do the murder thing.
Because he can put Hopkins into agony, Fats.
And he has this struggle. Oh, yeah, he proves that he can give him, like, a god-awful migraine.
Yeah.
And so he makes him...
100 times worse, 100 days long, he says.
And he makes him do things that's a little... reminiscent of the lighthouse.
Just a bit.
Where, like, he's got him crawling on the floor and then, like, touch the ceiling and spin around.
Spin yourself around. Mm-hmm. Now pick out that knife. What?
Yeah. Fats was a fitness guru the whole time.
So then he ends up having a struggle with Mr. Fats, and he ends up exiting the show with a flourish. And after Sir Anthony is dead, That's when you have Anne Margaret approach outside.
Well, you should say, like, he was going to kill Anne Margaret's
character. Yeah, I did. I did say he told him to get the knife and kill her.
Yeah, but he, like, ended up giving her a wooden heart that he carved.
The one that he almost gave her in high school.
Yeah.
And he saw that she was so touched and she smiled when she got it. So instead of killing her, he ended up stabbing himself in the gut.
Because yes. It's the only way to save her.
And it was funny as fuck. Because that's when she comes out. She's like, okay, I've decided. I want to be with you. Let's go.
I changed my mind.
Not get you this bitch. Off her fucking tunity again.
And then you hear Fats going, that's women for you. That's where it ends.
Well, Fats wasn't going away, so Hopkins had to go away.
Yes. And much like right. Kermit when Jim Henson passed away, Fats had nothing to say.
Well, and she
and we get this wonderful tracking shot from out of the cabin yes. through the window with him yes. lying dead next to his dummy, and that's when Anne Margaret walks up.
And she yeah. does an impersonation of Fats when she
yeah says she it. Yeah she does sort of ventriloquist voice briefly, and then she throws the heart up in the air. It freeze frames. And we get our credits.
Freeze frame.
And that's magic.
And that's what I call a sticky situation.
It's a kind of magic.
And there's wonderful score by Goldsmith throughout with these swelling romantic themes and this creepy sort of funhouse carnival renditions whenever it cuts back to the dummy, because the dummy is impatiently waiting for Quirky to get done fucking his girlfriend and get back to him.
Yeah.
Just creeping out, just lamping, yeah. keeping it real.
Well, you know, he's a vent figure. He can't not be creepy. Like, some people are scared of clowns. Some people aren't scared of clowns. I don't know who isn't scared of ventriloquist dummies.
Yeah, I mean, they are, like, inherently evil, I think.
And this one has teeth. Like, realistic dentures in it.
Which also, the doll Chucky had realistic dentures as well, which was really creepy.
It just makes it scarier for some reason.
Yeah, but it made me think as a kid that they had, like, children that they were stealing the teeth of and putting them into dolls.
I'd like to think so.
God, that would have been
awesome. They were doing that. Yeah, no, the children were being abducted through this pizza chain and being launched to Mars.
No, see, this legitimizes what they did in the prison in Phantom of the Paradise when they pulled all of his teeth out and gave him metal teeth instead.
It's a true story.
All went They're just to better. Dolls.
Phantom of the Paradise is based on real time.
It is.
And I well, also...
Well, it's no Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park.
Oh, God damn it.
It's not. It's better.
One thing I kind of enjoyed throughout the movie is that I call it sweaty magic, because he is just drenched in sweat for almost the whole movie. If it's not one
especially
thing, it's the
after
other.
The stabbing.
Yeah,
because he is an awkward, terrible, maladjusted, pitiful nerd, and this is why we love him.
It is.
And
take a card from my deck. don't you sons of bitches, bastards. That's 1,000 hours of my life right there.
You'll and learn for, the game.
The awkward, maladjusted nerds out there, if you want to get laid, just take up ventriloquism and magic, like Donnie was saying earlier.
Pop, pop, pop. What's that? What's a pop? Yeah. Now, we've had a lot of nice things to say about this film and Jerry Goldsmith's score.
Some people who had some not nice to things
there,
to say
there were people
one.
That would make you cry sad girly tears because they did not like the score.
This was in not fact, for
they
children.
Didn't even like the score.
Yeah, they absolutely shit on the score.
I guess they can't all be by that piece of shit Hans Zimmer.
Yeah.
Shots fired.
Okay, so misleadingly billed as a horror, this limp suspense yarn directed by the usually dependable Richard Attenborough, imitates Hitchcock poorly. Plot involves a magician ventriloquist played by a young Anthony Hopkins, who, on the verge of fame, can't live without his advice-giving dummy. He runs away from his New York City agent, who's about to sign him to a contract, goes to the mountains where he was raised and connects with his childhood crush.
Wait, was he really advice-giving?
No, but this is what this man saw.
Okay.
So he goes to the woods where he was raised and connects with his childhood crush, Anne Marguerite.
He's a mountain man.
Who's married to tough Ed Lauder. And the love triangle begins. After Lauder's killed, a few suspenseful scenes can't save a wooden script. What isn't predictable is completely pointless, and a horribly lame twist ending seals this coffin tight.
Ed Lauder dies in like the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of love
didn't
that.
I watch
that
the movie,
just...
but I kind of got back from the bathroom at the end.
Yeah, it just sounds like he went and kind of jerked off or fell asleep for a while. And then he's like, so yeah, after he kills Ed Lauder, some shit happens.
The like, guy zones out.
There was
like,
a lot of stuff that happened, sir.
And then the dummy tells him to invest in T-bills and get his 401k going.
You gotta get that shit going now, man.
Diversify your portfolio, fucker.
So, oh, I'm saving one of these for last because, oh Lord.
Fuck.
Worst movie I've ever seen doesn't even come close to making any relevance whatsoever. I can't believe I watched the whole thing. It's scary to think that somebody actually paid people to be in this movie.
Oh my God.
This movie had almost nothing to do with magic. If you want to watch a real movie, try out Rosemary's Baby, Children of Men, or A Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, or V for Vendetta.
What?
This
Cat by on a hot tin
four
roof?
Movies that have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah.
But they have magic.
They do?
No means.
Elizabeth Taylor's pussy's full of magic. I mean,
this by no means qualifies as entertaining. I would rather have taken a trip to the Amazon jungle and cuddled with a nice black panther.
Why is it gotta be black?
Yeah, right? I don't know why this was brought up for the Academy Awards. It ranks up there with the lamest movies of all time. Please, do not watch this movie. Save yourself the time and do something productive with 2 hours.
The lamest movies of all time, like Awakenings, Pink Flamingos, and Citizen Kane. What's with these movies? I don't get it.
Pink Flamingos is Citizen Kane.
Yeah, I mean, what's the difference? Pink Flamingos had nothing to do with flamingos.
Wells gets up on stage and says, legalize murder.
Oh, God.
Now, I chose this next one because I could not completely decipher it. But...
No.
It was very hard to decipher, but it also had the most people finding it helpful.
That's always disheartening.
Boy. Is that it?
Yes. Decipher it as you will. Play it at 1/3 speed.
Clever retort.
I went to have it. This was before Hannibal embarked on a reign of terror. Rife with Vintner's quarterly chatter and soap opera stare downs. Back when he was a shy lad on the stage, slathering his porcine frame.
Oh, porcine?
Oh, porcine.
Porcine. But he used a K instead of a C.
Oh, God damn it.
I see. We got an intellectual here.
Slathering his porcine frame with ectoplasm and whipped butter. He couldn't get a date unless he was standing under a palm tree and one hit him on the head.
I want to see this movie.
Clever.
Whipped butter and ectoplasm.
That sounds hot.
That's what gets the ladies going.
Sir Anthony Hopkins' fat ass body slathered with butter.
At Here at Videorama, we sell ectoplasm with whipped butter by the gallon.
It's he doesn't true. Even look fat. He was just sweaty.
He wasn't fat at all. He's not even kind of overweight.
No.
Just sweaty Betty.
He's a Welshman. They just look like that, okay?
It's true.
So he couldn't get a date unless he was standing under a palm tree and one hit him on the head. Could he? Of course he could. The 1970s were a very dull decade. Shoehorns, wood paneling, corduroy sleeves, and teddy bear skin chairs that blocked the ceiling. A greasy guy traipsing about with a goofy-faced doll that's always talking through your creepy different voice.
Oh my God.
To Miss Pennybottoms is at least not boring, she presumes as she kisses his wooden lips.
What
is Jason Voorhees if not violent? Sex-crazed manifestation of Christian guilt? The romantic ritualistic spilling of blood? Think the Passion of the Christ. Does he need a the? In the disguise of a dishwasher clown. There is not a lot of blood here. But we do find out why Rocky's coach, Mickey Goldman, suffered that fatal heart attack in Rocky III. The end.
Oh my God. Did we just have a collective stroke?
Yeah. Wait, that all dishwasher clown?
Oh my God.
And now apparently Burgess Meredith was only ever in one film series.
And what is Jason?
I love that. I fucking love that. Like, what is Jason Voorhees if not a violent sex-crazed manifestation of Christian guilt?
Let's compare our classy A suspense horror movie with a slasher movie made 2 years later, which is completely unrelated. Let's just do that, shall we?
But I mean, it's no Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, that's for sure.
Now, the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari is fascinating and all, but does not Scarlett O'Hara lust after Ashley? It's like, yeah, let's just compare shit. Just random shit. Or V for Vendetta. Yeah, let's just bring that up.
It had no magic, you guys.
Because he was the ghost of Guy Fawkes, right? That was the real twist. That's why his skin was all gnarly. He was the ghost of Guy Fawkes. That's why he had the power to make a revolution happen for no reason.
But
we're getting some insight here.
Does the Passion of the Christ need a the?
Couldn't it be a?
The Passion of Christ.
One of the many passions of Christ.
And Passion of Christ.
The Passion Project of Christ.
The Passion of Christ, guise of a dishwasher clown. You're welcome. And
the magic of life. Jesus Christ.
Why is it that every time somebody reviews something, they gotta prove that they're witty? They gotta throw in this sarcasm and shit. You know, like mainstream critics do this too, which is why they're assholes. But it's like, why don't you just say, hey, I was kind of expecting a nice slasher like Halloween, and this wasn't that. I was disappointed. Why don't you just say that?
Because they got to make it a dissertation.
I get an occasional ribbing by reading the National Lampoon back in Harvard. It was a little uncanny.
Did I mention I went to Harvard?
Yes, it was a bit above my taste, really, but it was still good when it was in bad taste.
And then that gentleman fell off that cliff in Hawaii. It was most unfortunate. Yes.
Doing tennis balls of cocaine with Mr. Chevy Chase.
Shall we not play cricket? Shall we have tennis? Do you even fuck?
If you enjoyed my review, I printed it in the school library and I'm handing them out on the campus quad.
The 70s were so terribly boring.
Everyone in the 70s drove a wood-paneled station wagon. They did, and they wore leisure suits. You couldn't not. It was the 70s.
At least we know Miss Penny Bottoms is not all that boring.
That's the kindest thing they said.
Yeah.
They say this to a woman who acted opposite Dean Martin and Elvis.
Yeah.
It's like she'd been nominated for an Oscar in 75. That's Anne Margaret, man.
Anne fucking Margaret.
I love her so much. I unironically just love her.
By the way, the woman playing Sadie, the secretary assistant to Burgess Meredith's character, is Lillian Randolph, who was in a lot of movies earlier on, including like all the whole series with The Great Gildersleeve. And she was in It's a Wonderful Life. She played Annie. And she was in a lot of things. So,
it's a wonderful.
And she'd seen Tallulah Bankhead, and she doesn't scare easy.
She doesn't
scare. Gemini Killer always put two L's at the end of those words.
Donnie, you ain't in control.
I know, Adrian. Just take up the knife and give it a little giggle spin.
The knife in my case, like in my luggage. Oh, I love it. He's like you. He travels with a knife, a switchblade knife.
And the cab driver says, you really look like yourself.
Makes you cry.
Aren't I deed?
There'll be sad songs to make you cry. Sad songs often
do. Happening.
I think it's another stroke from the review earlier.
Oh,
it's just our Adrian.
Well, after that review, I'm not sure I'm awake right now. Thanks.
Did you find any more?
We can change that for you.
How? How can you do that?
More than meets the eye.
Cockformers coming in your eye. God, if Fats actually was a transformer, that'd be awesome.
He did want a wooden penis.
At the end, his soul got transferred to Anne Margaret. He's a demon.
Yeah.
So Merlin and his wife, they actually channeled a demon from Atlantis, from Lemuria. Yeah, and then it got put into Anthony Hopkins later.
Oh my!
Yeah, that's the real plot. Yeah,
I'd like to get put in Anthony Hopkins later.
Actually, you want to come
inside me, demon?
I'd still hit it.
And Fat says your mother sucks cocks in hell, Kara.
Yes, as he does.
And I shrug. Oh, this is pretty fantastic timing, by the way, because we just watched it last night. And like we mentioned before, it was written by William Goldman, who wrote Princess Bride. And yesterday, Princess Bride hit its 34th anniversary.
Oh. You know, That's really weird. That's actually super weird, because before I even knew that this was your choice, I actually had a dream about The Princess Bride.
Oh, inconceivable.
I had a dream that I had gone to high school with Andre the Giant, and at that time he was regular sized.
Oh.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
I knew him when he wasn't so big.
Adrian's not a size queen. We know this now.
I've had a couple of sizes. No further remark needed.
Who wants to
mess with perfection?
Well,
you do.
I will.
I do. Okay, yeah.
Do it, Don.
After the loss of Corky, Fats moves on to the big city, where he got a job in a production called Manhattan Melodies.
Oh,
he
God served
as a backup dancer and member of Kermit's family. After several altercations and a few dangerous encounters, including phallic wooden objects and alcohol, Fats was soon back on his own, happening across a young man, a college magician, looking for a friend and possibly a partner. Fats soon finds himself liking the company of this college kid and even lands himself a job working beside his new buddy at Domino's Pizza, where he soon rises to become the star he always wanted to be. with his new life partner, James, at his side, the two begin a musical team-up and delivery service that takes the pizza chain by storm. Emotions run high, and their love soars like a big pizza pie. Fats and Jake Lloyd star in Fats Domino, A Love Story.
Why did you say that as sort of like a Cliff from Cheers' like weird
because
brother?
Cliff lives in all of us. All of us.
All of us.
Okay. I think I've got it now.
Let's do this.
Okay. So, for Corky, I'm thinking Tim Curry.
Okay.
For Anne Margaret, even though she is irreplaceable, I am thinking of Bernadette Peters.
Still bangable.
For let's see here. For the agent, Gangrene, I'm thinking of fucking
Lauren Green.
No.
Tom Green.
No.
Joshua
no,
Green.
You bastards. No. 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 Albert Finney.
You're losing it.
Yeah.
Great actor.
I'm thinking of John Huston directing. I'm thinking of a really wonderful big production man. From 1982 here. And who would be good for Ed Lauder? Oh, he's
Crypt
irreplaceable
keeper.
Too, though. What? Who?
The Crypt Keeper.
No. Maybe for Fats. No. No. Here we go. We'll go sideways. No, we'll make it Paul Michael Glazer.
A wonderful human being.
I'm sure he is. Yeah. And in this one, in this version, Fats is a redhead and wears striped stockings.
Beautiful.
Okay. So mine is a sequel, and it picks up right where the original left off. But Anne Margaret's character, who's now played by Grace Jones, because what the fuck's continuity?
Feminine.
And also, I should establish that this is going to is a movie that where the sequel is going to be like in the 90s. And it is going to have almost nothing to do with the first one. It's going to take everything that was amazing from the first one and just shit on it.
It came from outer space 35 years later. So
I mean, 8mm no two. I mean, come on. Like,
and anything with Jonathan Scheck. Yeah.
We're doing this. One could argue The Howling too. So she's like, Corky's not replying. That's weird. She walks up and it sort of has the ending now from Sleepaway Camp, where you see Fats just standing up with no pants, and he's got a vagina with the knife. And we find out that slowly he's transitioning to the Anne Margaret character, and he's like, "I did it, baby! It worked out just as we planned."
Oh my!
Oh, so it's single white female too.
Kinda, yeah. And but like they planned it ahead of time because they're the real couple. Like there was the real love. And then, of course,
speaking of Tallulah Bankhead,
of course he's like Fats is like, "Let me in," and she does, and she ends up getting a show. And basically taking over Corky's career, his whole career. Because like first she gets on the talk shows because they want to interview the one who made it, who survived. And she's like, "What's funny is that I have my own friend," and she brings out Skinny,
oh.
No longer Fats. And then, like, the audience just cannot fucking get enough of Anne Margaret's character or Skinny. And she becomes a huge fucking success until she begins killing. Or is it her?
Could Skinny be played by Ed Harris?
It almost can't not be. Yeah.
Well, could she turn into Ed Harris?
It's definitely not going to be Ed Harris.
Yeah.
Ed Harris in a dress? Corky, what happened to me?
I don't know. You tell me.
Whoa. Skinny.
And what about the hours after that?
And then, you know, soon enough, somebody else is like her next love interest is going to come up and she's going to try to kill him. But then, you know, Skinny will have to make the transition again.
Mm. And you learn some kind of lesson, and then it ends.
Yeah.
Except that it doesn't really end, because it's going to be a series that's going to end up with Fat / Skinny going to the hood, going into space.
But you got to cut it off between movies. So, somebody's just, like, talking, and then just all of a sudden the credits roll, like, they weren't even finished with the word they were on.
You know? Yeah. Except it will continue in the next one, yeah.
Yeah. Just break it right up.
It'll be Altered States, the series.
Yeah. Why not?
Just make it like Berlin Alexanderplatz and then just break it up into 90-minute chunks.
Or instead of Ed Harris, we can have Oliver Platt.
Yeah.
Make it like Saw, because what is continuity?
Yes. Yeah.
I know I died a long time ago, but I like made like 11 billion tapes and I just like targeted all of you. I don't know even how I did that, but yeah, I want you to play a game.
Is VHS still a thing? You're gonna get many DVDs. Does that
distortion on your cell phone and your tablet? Because we got to try to make consistent for the series, even though it's been going since Bush was president.
I uploaded 1,100 hours of content onto my YouTube channel.
I was a very lonely man.
Remember to hit that like and subscribe button.
Oh, and also, before I got the cancer, I got in this car accident, and I, like, ripped the car apart, and then I went and killed my girlfriend or something, maybe. I'm not really sure at this point.
Check out my Carfax report.
What's up, Platters?
He pops up in the hospital bed with Carfax on his arm. It's like, I think you should listen to What's Wrong with the Front End.
Another classic made by Videorama. I just like Oliver Platt having a YouTube and calling his followers Platters.
Oh, yeah.
What's up, Platheads?
Chances are always your skinny ass. Oh,
so, I feel like we done covered this movie.
Yeah, we got our fist all up in that doll, I think.
But did we learn a valuable lesson?
I think that Bobcat
Goldthwait
on Tales of the Crypt did better.
Well, this made me also think of a Twilight Zone episode too, but
yeah, I mean, a lot of things have covered this subject. I just don't think it's ever been done as well. Like, you know, there's Devil Doll. I mean, and that's pretty good. Despite
I still
the fact
wish I could have made you Ooga people Booga. Watch Black Devil Doll.
By not Chester Ooga Booga. Ann Turner.
Oh no, this is a movie you can't find anymore, made by the same people who made Brawlin' Broads.
Yeah, Black Devil Doll from Hell, from the director of Tales from the Quad Dead Zone.
From the director of Brawlin' Broads and the fan of RottenCotton.com.
I will not get laid, as you put it, until I am married.
It might be available on Full Moon Feature.
The one Adrian's talking about, maybe, yes. But the one I'm talking about, you have to go to E of Bay.
Somebody made him more than one? Oh, my goodness.
No, there are two different Black Devil dolls. Believe me on this.
Oh, so this one's not from hell.
No, this one is cast entirely with strippers because they would take their clothes off for this film. And it's about a...
God bless them.
A black power activist who killed white women only and some white men. He's being electrocuted. And on the night that he's being electrocuted, a stripper lady is bored and decides to contact her uncle on a Ouija board to ask him why he made her put something in her mouth. And that's when the man, Mubia, contacts her on the Ouija board to say she has nice big tits. And he possesses a white ventriloquist doll, which then becomes dressed as a militant black man with an afro and a beret.
So you're saying this is the only movie with a doll in blackface?
Yes. And he's all about comparing eating ass to eating fried chicken. And the reason his teeth are so white is because he says the N-word a few thousand times a day. It is...
So this is almost unjustifiable as good as Killjoy. Movie.
And the tagline is he's a motherfucking puppet.
Yes. Apparently. You can't dispute.
And they actually
one.
Campaigned several times to get a TV series made with him called There Goes the Neighborhood.
Encourage our listeners to listen to Ice-T and Body Count with their track, There Goes the Neighborhood. You will
body
not
count,
regret it.
Body Count.
I like Body Count.
Actually, Body Count came out with some new music recently, too.
Holy
yeah, they did.
Shit.
He's still kicking it.
Yeah, it's pretty goddamn awesome, actually. Yes, with that, it is time to say, please listen, follow, rate, and review Videorama over, especially on Apple Podcasts. I can't talk. It helps us immensely, and it will earn you an on-air shout-out. And check out our stuff on YouTube if you're not already, and you could see our pretty faces. And see all the visual stuff. Like with the last episode, you got to meet my my monkey companion, Algonquin Thelonious Monkey.
Simeon?
Primate. Also, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/videoramapod. We have a lot of amazing stuff over there, if I may say so myself. And at a certain level, you can be a guest here on Videorama, and you could choose a movie or a theme that we cover as well. And you can also get an Adrian doodle.
You could have that if you really wanted it.
And remember, you can find Videorama on Twitter at Videorama P. That's Videorama with the letter P. You can visit our website at videoramapod.com, and you can write to us at videoramapod@gmail.com. We love the correspondence. And that's all I got. Fuck it. Never mind. Ignore me.
Delilah Murphy.
Oh, yeah. Check out my other podcast about witches in history and stories of all media, Bedknobs and Broomflicks. That's spelled B-R-O-O-M-F-L-I-C-K-S. You know we're enjoyable because we got licks at the end. Also, you could check me out now in the second season of Four's a Crowd as Mrs. Halverson. Adrian, where can the people find you?
Oh, the usual. I'm on YouTube as AA Smith. I do put videos on there sometimes. I am on DeviantArt and Patreon as Leo the Fox, LeoTheFox, all lowercase, all run together, all one word. I've got a whole lot of artworks on there that you could take quite a lot of time going through, or you could just skim. I mean, whatever's clever. There's stories on there, too, if you were so inclined. If you were literate and your standards aren't too high, they are definitely there.
That's that your come on line? If you're literate and your standards aren't too high.
and you could also find me at the hotel shuffling the freaking skid mark sheets into the laundry.
Yeah. Down on Skid Row.
Gotta get out of Skid. How about you, Dan?
Dan is not my name.
That was John, your slave
John
name.
Is the name of my father's that was given to me. People can find me on the Instagram under Stilgar the Twi'lek. I am also on the Twitter as Unreal Goals, and I'm on the YouTube as Unreal Goals, and I have projectos coming out this month-os, I think. And instead of finding me in the garbage, you can find me in the back booth of Arby's, as they're now allowing people inside. I'm sure that's entirely factual.
Slathering
my porcine figure in ectoplasm and whipped butter.
Johnny, if you're going to go around spreading your Delta, why don't you go to Chick-fil-A?
Because I don't support them.
That's why you give them Delta.
That's why you give them Delta. Get that Jesus chicken and some Delta.
If they want to build up their immune systems, they got to come to me.
He'll be found in that last stall in the men's bathroom.
Honestly, Arby's is the only one that when I tell them, you know, whip up that butter and get the ectoplasm, they're like, welcome back, Donnie.
Welcome back, Mr. Roberts.
I've like, been waiting. Always been if the you caretaker just wanted of Arby's.
To eat a big thing of curly fries and mozzarella sticks, where the fuck else are you going to go?
Yes. You're going to get some of that Arby's sauce, but be careful not to get the horsey sauce slathered on you.
It's not horsey, it's whipped butter. I swear, you're going to find my picture
you put
on
your
wall
asparagus
in Arby's.
Tips
it's going to be
right?
Like the fucking Shining.
And you could just hang out in front of the sink in the bathroom and slathering it on like...
You're How's gonna it going, bruh? What, you gonna take a pee, bruh? That's cool. Nice dick, bruh. I'm gonna take a shit.
You want in on this?
Yeah, I just ate three beef and cheddar wurst. I'm gonna fucking shit my brains out, bruh.
My body's no, right.
You gotta hold it until you make it to the McDonald's handicap stall. That's where that stuff belongs.
And I don't gotta go right now.
And you can't stop at the Burger King bathroom because that one's for getting busy. Like,
so next week, Adrian will be sharing his recommendation for Killer Doll movie, not directed by Charles Band or Charles Dance, because fuck that guy.
Or Stuart Gordon, frankly. I'm glad we avoided. We just did Stuart Gordon. We can't be doing him twice in a row.
Oh, Gerdo. Until then, death to Video Wrong Rama, long live the new flesh, and Tawny kill the kid.
And until next time, the balcony is closed.
Ectoplasm in my wet butter.
I'm Rod Reber from the Chicago Sun-Times. This is a family-friendly movie. We're done with family values.
You're done in this town.